My name is Katie Fanton, and I'm the Director of Operations and Missions here at the Vineyard. I'm really excited about our time together this morning. As Alex mentioned, this is Mission Sunday, a time for us as a community to celebrate the ways that this church has been involved in extending the transforming love of Jesus to our world, both internationally and here at home. And there's two different ways that our church has been active in the world. I'm going to talk briefly now about our giving. The two ways we've been involved is our giving and our going. And I'm going to start with talking about our giving. Each year, our church commits a percentage of our annual income towards giving to the needs in the world around us. This financial year, that is going to be 12% of our annual giving. There are three ways that we give those funds away. One of them is to ministries we support on a monthly basis, ministries or organizations. Another way is external benevolence. Those are needs that focused outside the church. That can range from individuals in need to crisis relief to church planting or short-term mission trips. And the final way is internal benevolence, which is folks within our congregation who are struggling with a one-time need or are dealing with some kind of significant financial hardship. If you would like more information about how to access particularly internal benevolence, if you're in a situation where you're realizing, oh, wow, I could use some support, you can let any of the staff know. And there's also some information on the welcome table outside. For this morning, though, we're going to focus specifically on the ministries that we support on a monthly basis. And you may wonder why we're choosing to do that. We realize as a congregation that one of the most effective ways for us to serve in the world around us is to develop partnerships with organizations and ministries that best fit our current values. We acknowledge that there's a number of organizations and ministries and ways to serve, but we realize, especially for a church of our size, we have to set some limit in terms of the number that we can choose and the values that we can express over a given period of time. And we realize that there are a number of individuals and ministries who have been trained and equipped and called to serve in particular ways around the world and locally, and we want to bless and partner and affirm them and really come alongside them as a church and partner with them. As you might imagine, it's difficult to decide on which ministries to support. There's a number of incredible opportunities in the world around us. So we realized this year that we wanted to create some guidelines for how to make these decisions. And the first step in creating some guidelines in terms of deciding which ministries to support monthly was to create what we're calling a compassion team. And that is a team of people within the church who are both lay leaders and staff who help pray and discern and read and get to know some of the ministries that are requesting support or connected to us and sort of evaluate with them, is this the best use of the finances that we have and the values that we hope to express? So I want to take a minute to introduce that compassion team. Almost all of them are here this morning. I'm going to have John White stand up. Jim Lin, who I saw, I think. Jennifer Rodriguez, back in the back. And Yishin Lin. You guys can sit down. Thank you guys for serving the way that you do. And this team's mandate is to process and evaluate applications that we receive from missions and ministry organizations to help us figure out, how best can we steward the finances that we have. And we've just completed this process. Thank you, team, and they've done a tremendous job. And this morning's presentation is a number of the ministries that we've decided to support between now and June of 2013. This includes 4 local ministry partners and 4 international ministry partners. And if you have questions about this process, I realize I took a sort of short amount of time to outline a very long process. You're welcome to talk to me. There's also some information about the Compassion Fund on the welcome table outside, and you can take a look at that. So today, we're going to be hearing in person from 3 of 4 of our local ministry partners. And as an aside, in your bulletin today, which many of you have probably taken a look at, all of the partners are listed with some information about each one of them. You're going to hear a lot more from some of them. Because our local partners are here, we thought, hey, let's have them come up in person. Because our international partners, for the most part, other than JNX, are international, we decided to let a video share with us this morning the ministry and the work that they're doing. So I hope you enjoy this, and I hope it's an encouragement to you.
mother left me when I was 2 years old. She was a prostitute and mentally ill. I never met my father. I lived with my grandmother for a while, but she had no money to feed me. I was getting into trouble, and I didn't go to school. Life in my neighborhood was dangerous. My brother was killed in a street fight. In the year 2000, I came to Arms of Love. I was 11. It was the first time in my life that I felt the love of a family and learned how much God loved me. It's hard to believe how much my life has changed.
That we are a part of the church and the friendship, and we are also thankful for the money we raised to build the homes in Vailur, India, and we want to express our great gratitude to each one of you.
Cool stuff, eh? Yeah. So now that we've heard a bit from our international partners, I'm excited to talk a little bit about our local partners. And this morning, we're going to hear from three members of our congregation who are involved in three of the four local ministries that we support. And I'm going to let them, they're going to introduce themselves, but we're going to hear from all three of them together. And at the end, I'm going to get back up and say a few words. But I want to take a minute to pray before we begin and as we hear from them. Jesus, thank you for the ways that you are moving in our church and in our world. And I pray for more of that. God, show us how to be people who love you within the church and also outside the church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to introduce Adrian Locke from InterVarsity. He's going to be our first person to share. And then we'll hear from Christina Lim Carlson and Rajesh Philippos. Come on up, Adrian. Thanks.
Good morning, church. Can you guys hear me? All right. My name is Adrian Locke, and I'm on staff with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And for those of you who don't know much about InterVarsity, there's a little blurb in the bulletin, and it must have been off of the website because that's exactly what I have in my notes. But we are an evangelical campus mission serving students and faculty on campus, college and university campuses nationwide. And our vision is pretty simple. We want to see students and faculty transformed. We want to see campuses renewed, and we want to see world changers developed. And I want to share just a little bit about how this vision is being lived out at Stanford. So just a little snapshot with a story of a student named Mike. Mike is like a lot of Stanford students, and he's kind of brilliant, and he's good at pretty much everything. He's extremely smart. He's, you know, very gifted in music. He is athletic. He is very relational. He has a lot going for him. And when he came to Stanford, he had really high expectations for himself and big dreams for his career and his future. He was hoping to become a doctor. And Mike came into school with, you know, just a strong sense of what his dreams and goals were. But over the course of his time at Stanford, God began to change and transform him in really radical ways. As Mike began to get involved with InterVarsity, he began to see what it meant to follow Jesus. And through Bible studies, through other campus events that we had, through the lives of people around him. And Mike began to wrestle with the question of what does it mean to kind of follow Jesus with his entire life. And he started to ask the question, how do my academics and how does my future career actually fit into the purposes that God has for my life? He actually started to see how costly it was to follow Jesus. And really wondered if it was worth it, if it had the potential to derail his own, you know, hopes and dreams. And in the midst of the high demands of his academic work, Mike began responding to God's prompting. He decided to become a Bible study leader and serve God's purposes in the lives of others around him, and just really entrust his academics and future to Jesus. And through the experience, he actually experienced a lot of new life. He got to experience joy of seeing other people being transformed around him. And he got to see how God could provide time and energy to do both. However, Mike, kind of in the midst of this, still had a lot of questions about how all this played out after college and kind of after his experience in InterVarsity. This summer, Mike was a part of a team that my wife, Sasha, and I led called the Bay Area Urban Project, and we spent 6 weeks in Oakland kind of learning about God's heart for justice. And during this project, God was continuing to speak to Mike about, you know, what it meant to follow him, specifically around the topics of justice. And on this project, we got to live and work really closely with men, a part of a drug and alcohol recovery program with an organization called City Team. And you know, we got to see the daily struggles of addiction, and we got to see Jesus' redeeming power in the midst of that. We also got to learn about different issues of justice in the city, like immigration, human trafficking, and just other areas of injustice in, like, the education system. And during this time, Mike was also able to volunteer for a free medical clinic that run by the organization we were at. And you know, God began giving Mike a bigger vision of what it could be like for him to be about God's purposes, about God's kingdom. And he began to catch a glimpse of what it could look like for his dreams to be aligned with the kingdom of God. Mike has just graduated. He's now currently taking a year off before attending med school. And he's living in East Palo Alto for the year, continuing to learn about what God has for him and actually doing that as he works as a substitute teacher. Next year, he will be attending med school. He was going to go to Cornell with still plans to become a doctor. But now he has dreams to actually start his own free medical clinic, kind of serving the the lower income or the uninsured. And as you can see, this is just a snapshot of an individual's life, kind of being transformed and kind of becoming a true world changer. And this is just one example of many kind of happening within the ministry of InterVarsity. Just to be honest about, you know, the college campus, it's not an easy place for people to live out their faith or to even explore faith. The general campus environment assumes that God is irrelevant. It's a place where it actually discourages spiritual development. Students are facing an enormous amount of social and academic pressure. And this often results in students losing their faith. In fact, about 60% of students who come in considering themselves Christians will lose their faith sometime during college. So it's kind of the harsh reality of the campus environment. And just the Ministry of InterVarsity hopes to engage the broader campus, and it's been really cool to be a part of that. We've got to see lives like Mike and others be changed, kind of aligned with the purposes of God. One of the ways that we're hoping to do this on campus this year is through engaging the campus, you know, through things that we're calling proxy stations. They're sort of interactive displays wrestling with a topic that can lead towards some sort of spiritual discussion. This fall, we're going to be welcoming new students using the topic of choices. In the middle of campus, we're going to talk to folks and kind of welcome people in and meet new people, asking them, you know, who do you want to become? What choices are you going to have to make to get there? And, you know, what influences your choices? And hopefully giving them a lead in to actually talk about spiritual things and how God might enter the picture for folks, like he did for Mike. So we want to see students and faculty transformed. We want to see campuses renewed. And we want to see world changers developed. And it's been really cool to be a part of the Vineyard and kind of InterVarsity because a lot of the values are really similar. And the Vineyard actually plays a really huge role in our ministry. Personally, I felt called here at the Vineyard to staff work, which is interesting. It was actually through someone praying for me during kind of our prayer ministry time at the end of service that I felt kind of God's calling. And part of that calling was to, you know, the work and healing that God was doing in me and kind of wanting to see that in others. But it was a lot of the Vineyard kind of emphasis on healing that allowed that to take place. This church is currently sending out actually 3 staff members to the Ministry of InterVarsity. I don't know if you guys remember Mindy. She's a part of this church, but she has just moved to Santa Cruz to serve on staff at UC Santa Cruz. And then Eliana is coming on staff this year. And we are missionaries to the campus, but we are sent by this church family. And it's been really cool to be supported by the church and individuals, just both spiritually and financially. But beyond sending staff out, the Vineyard partnership with InterVarsity is also mutually beneficial in a couple other ways. For example, InterVarsity wants to see that your children that you're sending off to college have a place for their faith to not only survive, but actually flourish. And by partnering with InterVarsity, the Vineyard also gets to support kind of the development of kind of the local students. We're not just at Stanford, but we're at UC Santa Cruz, San Jose State. We're starting to plant a chapter at College of San Mateo, and then looking to plant maybe next year at De Anza and Foothill College. So kind of serving just the general area, local area. And we want to see students get plugged into the local churches like the Vineyard. And I don't know if you guys remember, I think every year we've had like a church tour. And so in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a whole bunch of Stanford students rolling in and kind of getting a feel for this church and see if is this a place that they want to get involved. And the Vineyard has just done a really great job of fostering a place where college grads can come and get involved and continue to live out their faith after college and into adulthood. We really believe that this church is being blessed by the ministry of InterVarsity and that InterVarsity is really being blessed by this church. You know, we're serving this next generation, and some of them might be your children or some of them might be future additions to the Vineyard family. So if you care about children and you care about this church, then you should care about InterVarsity. If you don't, we should talk sometime. So I just want to thank this community. The Vineyard has been very good to this ministry, both staff and students involved. And our hope is to continue to bless this church and bless each other. So we're just thankful for this partnership. And we look forward to continuing this. Thank you.
That was a great plug. good morning. My name is Christina Lim Carlson, and as some of you may know, I lead the Women's Jail Ministry. And VCFP works with the CIC Ministry, Santa Clara County, to go into Santa Clara County jails, just to go in to give church service. I go in once a month to do Bible study, and also weekly for a one-on-one basis with the women, kind of interview and pray. So why did I go to jail, right? Why would I want to do that? Well, at the beginning, it was because God was speaking to me, or at least I believe that God was speaking to me, that he was going to redeem some of the past history I had in regards to visiting jail. And God pretty much did that the first year. He made me feel really redeemed. But I've been in this ministry a little longer now, so I kind of wonder, well, why am I still in it? What am I getting out of it, and what is God doing in my life? So I did some thinking, and it turns out, well, of course, God has blessed me tremendously through this ministry and had used me to bless others tremendously at the same time. Three things I realized that God has done for me. First is expanding my family in Christ. Second is strengthening my faith. And third is affirming my spiritual gifts, well, and also observing others. The very first thing I noticed was that my view of God's family is now bigger. And if you ask me at the beginning when I went into jail, if the women in jail were my sisters in Christ, I would say, yeah, of course they're my sisters in Christ. But I knew that in my head, and I can't really say it from the bottom of my heart that I really had that kind of connections I would have with many of you in this community. Thanks. And then I wasn't expecting that connection until recently I started paying attention that actually we are connected, and I have a connection with these women in jail, that we are just sisters in Christ together trying to give whatever we have to give in whatever condition we are, so we can find, you know, some way to hang on to some hope and in the love of Jesus. This realization happens simply through my time spent with them. I relate to them more and more as I watch them struggle, trying not to indulge in whatever addictions and sins that they are doing, which I can relate to, hanging on to hope in Jesus in some impossible and super complex situation in life, and see them struggling with unmet needs and wants and desires with God, which I also can relate to, and basically watch them grow stronger in faith, yearning for more of God, praying for family, and, you know, pretty much like what you and I do, you know, just living an imperfect life, but trying to find hope in Jesus so we can live in his perfect love in this crazy world. And I see myself in them because I'm not that much different. I happen to have all kinds of distractions on the outside, not locked up, because I can do TV or whatever. So I'm not down on my knees. But for them, the lack of control in their life and the desperation they face, they can't, they're out of control of what time they can wake up, what time the light's out, what they can and cannot say. They can't even look up a word with a dictionary if they're reading something they don't really understand, if they don't have a dictionary. But that kind of out of control in their life got them down on their knees in front of Jesus. And so because of that, I am inspired. I'm inspired by the hunger of God. I am moved by the longing to change, and amazed at their transformation and the kind of connections I make through all the observations. And there's this woman I just talked to this Friday, and she's struggling with some mental illness, and she really wants to please God. But she was telling me that she is just loving her sins. She doesn't know how to let go, and she's pretty much down on the dumps. But she loves God. And while we're talking, and there's this one moment I was able to tell her the truth. I looked at her and I said, "You're a beautiful woman created by God, and he knows your struggle." And she just immediately filled up with tears, and she just looked at me, and we looked at each other for this, you know, I don't know, 5 seconds, and we made this connection. And suddenly I realized, you know, this sister is just made in the image of God, and the both of us together, and we are connected through the love of Jesus. And the second thing I notice is that my faith is strengthened just through hearing all these great stories about these women. One woman had wanted to go to rehab, but realized she's going to need to take some time and some gumption to go. But then the next day she was arrested, and now she's in jail, and she was actually kind of happy about it because she said this is God's fast way of getting her to the program. And I agree, because she's now on the way to go to a program, and she didn't have to like figure it out how to do it. And then there's another woman that is just a great, great Christian woman that just knows the Bible better than I do. And I just admire her. And wonderful Christian woman. And she didn't really know God until she went to prison. And she, you know, she's still locked up, but God uses her gloriously to reach out to others. And I love seeing that. So there's one thing I learned there, is that jail is a dark place. But in the darkest place, God moves. And when my life gets dark, I want to remember that God can do this miraculous stuff in jail. The third thing I realized, why I still love surfing, is that kind of self-enlightenment thing, is that I get to watch people's spiritual gifts in action, and at the same time, I get confirmed. I always know people are gifted differently and blah, 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 but it's different when I actually experience it. So I go in with a partner that is great in worship, and she just whips out her guitar and she starts singing, and all the women's eyes are just like widen and lighten up, and she's singing, smiling, and everybody loves it. And I get to see her bless these women, and it's different when I just get to be there, you know? And, you know, I can sing, but not like that. Another partner that I go in, he actually was great. He noticed that I didn't have enough time for prayer at the end of my service. I didn't schedule enough time, and he brought that up, and he really cared about praying, so I did. And now I get to watch him pray for the women, and when he does, he brings his blessings to these women. He really touches them. So, and I just get to watch it, and the fact that he brought that up was great, because it's kind of like iron sharpens iron, and now I get to be sharper, kind of like the proverb said. So serving with others, talking about getting better, is that, you know, just serving with others, I get to hear what other people tell me, I'm maybe good at this, not good at that, good at talking with women, and it just really kind of helped me grow. And I've been a Christian for a little bit, about 9 years. I've been a Christian longer, but back at church for about 9 years. And so I just still need to hear that kind of confirmation so I can continue to grow and know what my gifts are. So to sum it up, I just want to tell you that I really believe God has made all of us as a family in Christ. And even though I wasn't really connected or interacting with my brothers and sisters in jail before, nonetheless, they are still my brothers and sisters. It's like unclaimed, you know? And now that I've gone outside of this family, I have gotten more family outside. And that it kind of goes out, and then we love each other, and they actually love me back, and somehow it all comes back. And to me, that's kind of like love without end. And it's a great thing, and I really like it. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Rajesh. I'm glad to get this opportunity to talk to you about Hot Meals. Hot Meals is a program that is run by a local organization called InVision that provides daily meals to those who need one in the local area. There was a report in 2010 by the U.S. Department of Agriculture that says that 1 in 6 people go hungry during the year. See, that is an incredible statistic for such a prosperous country as ours. So what I want to do is talk to you about the ways that our church is helping to alleviate hunger. Twice a month, we go to a local kitchen. We cook and serve food for about 60 people. Our mission in going there is to build loving, Christ-centered relationships with those that we meet. And we do this in a variety of ways. We have handed out toiletries as well as sleeping bags. We have handed out Bibles in various languages. We have done Bible studies there. We have prayed for people. We have washed people's feet. And sometimes all we do is just lend a listening ear and we hear their stories. You see, we see cooking and serving as kind of the foundation, as a launch pad to do more things, to find new ways to build relationships. Recently, we noticed that there are some in our congregation who would be better off with a lunch sandwich, and we've started doing that after the church service. Ideas like this stem from all of us, from within the congregation, and when we notice a need around us. So while I was preparing this sermon, I realized that we bring our own distinctive vineyard flavor to hot meals. We pray before the meals to a chorus of amens. We read a psalm once in a while. We also bring our own signature peach cobbler with ice cream dessert. We bring vegetables to add to the otherwise plain lettuce salad that they offer. It is fun to do things together. I want to tell you the story of John, about John. John has been coming to our church as well as to hot meals sometime late last year towards Thanksgiving. He moved from Texas and he was living on the streets, and we met him. So it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We were serving at hot meals, and we found out that he does not have a sleeping bag or a jacket. So one of the church members left hot meals, went and brought him a jacket. We found a sleeping bag for him. Another church member invited him to a small group Thanksgiving dinner that was happening just after hot meals. He joined us there. He felt welcomed. Many people talked to him. And so as I dropped him off that night at the corner of El Camino and Embarcadero, he told me how he experienced the love of Jesus through members of our church. Isn't that great that we can do that? We can reach out and bless people. You know, in the midst of that, there is a tension that I experience as I've gone to hot meals. There is brokenness and suffering that you see at hot meals, and I compare that to my life and its many comforts. It is hard to reconcile dropping off someone and letting them walk into the woods to find a place to sleep while I drive home to my warm, nice home. And I think that Jesus wants me to remain in that tension, to experience that tension, and to work through it in community. The good news about John is that in the last hot meals, he told us that he found subsidized housing in Mountain View. So I encourage you to come be part of this adventure. We live in an extremely busy area in the Silicon Valley. And if we are not intentional about things like this, adventures with Jesus will pass us by. For me, the very act of leaving work at 3 p.m. Once a month reinforces the notion that I want to live counterculturally. In fact, it has brought up a number of conversations at work about hot meals, service, why I do what I do. One of my coworkers came to hot meals, brought his daughter along. So in closing, I want to share some pictures from a hot meals event we did a few months ago. Every once in a while, we decide to cook the entire meal from scratch. The kitchen transforms itself into, you know, one of those that you see in a reality show, Food Channel. It's fun, it's exhilarating. The pictures will stop at some point because the photographer got pulled into actually doing some work. So I hope you get a taste of what we do at Hot Meals with this. Thank you.
Those are great stories. Yeah? Really, really fun. But there was a lot this morning, wasn't there? A lot in the video, a lot that we heard. So I just want to take a minute for us to sit and pray and to ask God, what this morning inspired you? What encouraged you? What challenged you? I just want to take a moment of silence. God, would you speak now about what we've seen and heard this morning? And as you're reflecting, take a minute to thank God for the joy and the transformation he's brought as we've served. Why do we serve in these ministries? Why do we go? You can continue to stay in an attitude of reflection, but we're going to turn to worship in a moment. But before we do, we realize that there are many different ways that everyone in this church community has the opportunity to serve. For some of you, it will literally be going. I hope that something you heard this morning literally makes you want to go. Go internationally, go locally, go. I hope for that. I pray for that. For some of us, something may have struck you that your heart feels connected to something you heard or saw this morning. You wonder why people are in jail. You wonder why food issues and homelessness exist in the Silicon Valley. You wonder why students may not have a place to go, say, on a Thanksgiving, or why they need support as they move on to college. And your heart is moved towards those ministries. Or maybe as we looked at the video, you thought, wow, kids not having a place to live, women not having a place to live. For you, your first call may be to pray and to ask God to show you what the next step is. As part of that this morning, grab your bulletins that you got. There is a bright yellow cardstock. It's a response card. And what we're hoping this morning is that something you saw or heard will move you to action. Whether that's prayer, whether that's finances, whether that's going, we hope that you are moved to action in some way this morning. So we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe it's as simple as getting on the prayer list for one of these ministries and or meeting with one of them and saying, I want to understand the issues behind what you do. Maybe it's deciding to ask your boss finally to leave at 3 once a month to serve with hot meals. Maybe it's going to the upcoming jail training on September 25th just to get some idea of what God is doing and how you could serve. But during worship, I encourage you as you worship, as you connect with God, to take some time to fill this card out. If there are ways that you'd like to respond, and we'll collect it at the end of worship. Also, if there's something on here that you just want to talk, you want to process, you want to ask questions, write it on the back, and either myself or someone from one of these organizations will get back to you. But I want to pray for us now as we enter into worship, that God would use this time for our good, that we would follow the words and the life of Jesus as someone who extended the transforming love to the world. So, Father, I pray for your mercy as we worship. I pray for your love as we worship. I pray that you'd show us how to respond this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.